Carolyn Cameron. Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. I asked this really weird question to the guys behind the glass and Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. If you could pick a sport that you'd want to see the NHL All-Stars play, because we saw the Pro Bowl guys play dodgeball, and I enjoyed that. What would you want to see the NHL All-Star guys play? Not on skates, just regular sport. What would you like to see them play?
I actually like dodgeball because I think you want to see something that they're all capable of doing, right?
Really?
And where they get really competitive. Like, imagine if they did dodgeball even in the NBA All-Star game.
Right.
You'd have, like, Russell Westbrook just taking Kevin Durant out.
Yeah, that, you're right. Or Kevin Love would probably, like, just be really sensitive about everything and not play, which would be really funny. Yeah, I said beach volleyball. But, like, the scene in Top Gun.
They may not all be as good.
Yeah, but that would even be better. Wouldn't you love to see Victor Hedman, like, spike it right down in Johnny Gaudreau's face? Wouldn't that be terrific?
Yeah, I guess that'd be entertaining.
All right. Can I just
get... go wrong.
Yeah, it would be fun. Can I give you some props? Can I pump your tires a little bit?
I guess.
Yeah. So you were in studio before the Australian Open started, and I said, you know, who's your pick on the ladies' side? And you go, I'd like to see Caroline Wozniacki win it. Congratulations on totally calling that.
And Federer won.
Yeah, and Federer won. I know. Like, is this bittersweet because you're like me? You're up on all these crazy. Well, you work late, super late anyway. You're like me. Is it bittersweet that your boyfriend won his 20th major today in five sets over Marin Cilic? Are you happy he won yet sad that it's over? But you're also happy that you're kind of back to a normal sleeping schedule.
I'm happy it's over. It was fun to watch, but I usually go to bed late because of my Sportsnet Central schedule. But last night I went to bed at 11 thinking, okay, maybe I could sleep like from 11 to 3:30.
Right.
But then I woke up at 1 a.m. because that's usually when I'm on air and couldn't get back to bed. So then I went to bed at 7:30 and got up at 12:30. And now I kind of feel like a piece of garbage.
There you go. break down the match for us because it was really interesting heading into that fifth set. And then it felt like that first game of the fifth set was the turning point. The crowd got behind Roger Federer. Bob's your uncle. He's got his 20th major.
This is why I love tennis, because in one match there can be so many different storylines, and the plot twists are quite bizarre. Because from the very start of the match, it was just all Federer. He looked to be cruising. Even when he lost the second set, it was like, okay, that's the set he'll give up, but other than that, he'll be fine. Third set, he looked good, and his serve looked unstoppable. Like, you're just watching him pick his points. Pick his spots, thought, okay, this is great. In the fourth set, Cilic almost got down a double break, and you still thought, okay, still just down a break. This will be over soon. I'll go to bed soon. And then Federer's serve just completely fell apart. He didn't look like he was moving very well, and then Cilic was all of a sudden moving really well. So headed into the fifth, and that first game of the fifth set where Federer was almost broken again, it was so strange to see, because you kind of thought, is he even going to make it through this fifth set? Like, he can't get his serves, and he can't get his first serves. And his first serve percentage in the fourth set was 36%, which is pretty horrendous, especially for Roger Federer. It was kind of disconcerting, because as they even mentioned in the broadcast, Federer started kind of looking his age, and then right when you doubt Federer, well, silly ass, then he turns it around and then wins the match. But credit to Cilic, because he put up a very good fight, and that was a lot closer than I think a lot of people thought it would be.
Well, you talk about age, and we all hear these things with Tom Brady. He's 40 years old. He wants to play till he's, you know, who knows, 45 allegedly, because he has that witch doctor helping him out to continue to play in the NFL. But Roger Federer is a guy, he's 36 now. He's turning 37 in August, Carolyn. And we're not hearing talk of, oh no, he's going to shut it down. How many more years is he going to play?
That's a good question. And even during the match, I was thinking of, I mean, the big storyline for Federer was last year was his revival year, right?
Yeah.
But it's getting to the point where this isn't just a revival. This is kind of like Federer 2.0, right? It's kind of like the second coming of his career after he didn't win a major for 4 years, nearly 5 years, and was out for 6 months at the end of two seasons ago. So based on how he's playing, because regardless of age, if you take age out of the equation and you're just looking at the field, you cannot tell me that someone in that Australian Open draw and somebody in the men's field right now moves better than Roger Federer does. He is playing the best tennis on tour, and he's playing better than he was 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Right.
So that being said, if he's playing this well, he's winning, he's changed his game so they continue to play. Like, he shortened the points. His backhand's much stronger, which also shortens the points. That used to be kind of his Achilles heel, where people would go hard to his backhand. But as we saw this morning or last night, however you want to put it, I mean, he's good, and he still looks like he can play for a while. People always say, the commentators say it, Federer said it, he loves the game, he'll play as long as he loves it. Well, I think you love it more when you're winning. So I honestly don't know in terms of years, but I'd say probably at least another year, assuming he stays healthy.
Sportsnet Central's Carolyn Cameron, tennis aficionado, joining us here on Sportsnet today along the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is George Russick. Where does Roger Federer, and I know because we're all watching Tiger Woods, you know, just hack his way around Torrey Pines right now. Everybody's pumped up when he hits a birdie when the guy's a shadow of himself. But Roger Federer, stop it, other guys aside of the glass. Roger Federer, like, he wins his 20th major. He's like a fine wine. He's getting better, as you mentioned. He's moving the best on tour. He's 36 years old. Where does Roger Federer rank in the modern day athlete now? Because I don't know where to put him, Carolyn. Is he number one? Like, because we had this conversation that, to me, Serena Williams, she's got more majors, and her longevity's even been more impressive. I think Serena Williams is right ahead of Roger Federer, and then after Serena Williams, I think it has to be Federer, is it not?
I think Serena and Roger are kind of 1A and 1B. And I think that's where we are so spoiled as tennis fans to be watching them, not just to be able to watch their careers, but to be able to watch it at the same time.
Yeah.
And the thing with Roger Federer, I know that people will always make the argument, how can he be the greatest tennis player of all time if he has a losing record to his rival Rafael Nadal? And I kind of get that argument, but the thing is, you cannot dismiss what he's done for the sport, his longevity, and the fact that he has more Grand Slam titles far and away now than any man ever has. And it's the same with Serena on that side. And I just think, too, the length of a tennis season, how grueling it is with the travel, the fact it's an individual sport, the hours on court. I mean, even during the match this morning, they were saying Cilic has been on court for 6 hours more than Federer. I mean, and then the conditions, too, and the depth of field. I think you put all of that together, and I really think Serena Williams and Roger Federer are the best of the best, because even Federer, when he wasn't winning slams, he was still right there.
Yeah.
Right? He never disappeared. It hasn't been a Tiger Woods situation where, oh, his off years, he was gone or completely irrelevant. He's always been there, as has Serena.
You're doing play-by-play for the upcoming Davis Cup, Canada and Croatia. And it's good news for Canada that Marin Cilic made it all the way to the final, because now he has to get himself to Croatia, get on the clay, and face Canada. What are the chances that Canada can get past Croatia and move on here in the Davis Cup?
It's definitely better for them if Cilic isn't there. I haven't heard yet. I assume he'll make a decision by maybe late tonight or tomorrow of whether or not he'll go. If that's the case, I really like Canada's chances. It's just going to be really tough because it's indoor clay in Croatia. So that's really Canada's probably worst surface that it could be. But, I mean, Dennis will be there. Vasek Pospisil, he just a couple hours ago actually won a challenger event in France, and he's back in the top 100. It'll be interesting to see Pospisil and Nestor in doubles. That actually could be a tough one with Ivan Dodig on the other side. But Canada has a chance, long story short. And it's better if Cilic isn't there. For television purposes, though, it's probably more entertaining if Cilic is there. So, because, I mean, who wouldn't want to see you want to see the best in a country against the best of another country. And I think seeing Chapo and Cilic would be pretty fun.
And I think a lot of people watching Denis Shapovalov, a lot of people are new to the sport now because he's such an exciting young Canadian tennis player. What can they expect with the atmosphere, especially playing in an arena in Croatia and Canada's the enemy?
Oh, I think it'll be super fun. I love Davis Cup, and I get how casual tennis fans and then just sports fans are always confused with Davis Cup, which is totally fair. It's It's kind of a strange tournament that's played throughout the year. But honestly, in terms of atmosphere, Davis Cup is one of my favorite events of the year. And it's really fun, again, in an individual sport, too, to see the team atmosphere and the country atmosphere and playing the players, kind of having other people on their team. So I think it's going to be loud. And usually Canadians travel. So,
right.
So we'll see how many are there. Rosh Madani will be there.
And awesome, and looking forward to it. It's on Sportsnet as well. Hey, before I let you go, you're doing Olympic coverage for Sportsnet, and we're not the official broadcaster yet. We're showing stuff. It's always confusing, but you're in on the broadcast. You're going to be on late. Can you share with me, and I don't want to put you on the spot, a random weird Olympic fact that you've learned lately because you're putting a ton of prep into this? Do you have a weird Olympic, an athlete fact that you could share with us that's really weird?
Let's see. Alex Harvey, not that weird, but Alex Harvey, the cross-country skier, he actually just made the podium today. I just saw it when I woke up.
Oh, really?
He's hopefully a medal favorite to reach the podium in Pyeongchang, but he does air guitar after he wins. It's just this thing that he's done with his skis.
And his
teammates just randomly did it once, and now it's his thing.
It's his thing. It's his trademark. See, I like it. See, that's a good random weird fact. From a guy that's dominated a sport that's dominated by Europeans, a Canadian has a chance to win a medal.
Yeah. Those are the names I hope if we're doing our job properly, those are the names we hear about a lot in the Olympics. Those are the ones. That's what the Olympics is about. It's the athletes who are always working hard. It's the amateur athletes who don't get the press and attention that they deserve, and this is their time to shine.
Yeah, we're like 2 weeks away from the games in Pyeongchang. Hey, thanks for doing this today.
No problem. Thanks, George.
Go get some sleep, okay?
Okay.